Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Would you love to eat healthier if you could eat food that was delicious? Well, now you can at Tropical Refresh Restaurant right here in Orlando. Imagine eating amazingly delicious food that is not making you a heart attack victim waiting to happen. Choose from mouth-watering veggie burgers, veggie chicken, veggie chunks and beans, etc. And don't forget our amazingly delicious non-dairy ice cream. Choose from flavors like grape nut, pina colada, strawberry, and more. Enjoy a real meal without guilt. Call now, 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. That's 407-310-8023 or toll free, 855-543-3243. And experience Tropical Refresh Restaurant, where there's a delight in every bite as you experience a taste of the tropics.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We just realized that during that entire first 5 minutes or so of the show, the microphone was not on. So I spent about 7 minutes talking to myself. And I'd just like to, we're going to go ahead, though, and nevertheless, we're going to get started. We have a very interesting show. And that first part, I just want to remind you to visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. Or also, you can follow me at twitter.com/bluezonewellness, and also at bluezonewellness.org, where it's our newest blog. We don't have a lot of information up there yet, but you can also go to our Simple Natural Health Secrets blog, which is located at phase3ministries.com/wordpress. That's PHASE, the number 3, ministries.com/wordpress. Fortunately, when we realized that the microphone was not on and not working, we didn't go into any of the program. We were just given a lot of precursor information there, and so we will go ahead and go in and get the show started with our first articles in this our week in natural news review segment. And this week in our first article, and if you're new to listening to the show, we deal with a few articles in our Week in Natural News segment, the first segment, where we talk about one or two, sometimes three articles that have come out during the week. And when we choose these articles, we discuss and analyze these articles. And the first article for this week is from Mercola.com, Dr. Mercola. And it's a very interesting article, and Dr. Mercola is discussing the surplus in many people of iron, of the nutrient iron, and in the article he talks about how in actuality people have more iron. The cases of people having a surplus of iron are actually more frequent than people having an iron deficiency. He starts off in the article by saying that when most people think about dietary iron, they wonder if they're getting enough. And he talks about how this is indeed an important consideration, but research, in fact, shows that you're more likely to have too much iron than not enough iron. And this can actually pose serious risks to your health, which is true. Dr. Mercola goes on to point out in this article that iron is essential for virtually every form, every life form, including us humans, where it is a key part of various proteins and enzymes involved in the transport of oxygen and the regulation of cell growth and differentiation among many other users. And I'd like to add to that, yes, iron is very, very important, but it's also, as he goes on to talk about in the article, you can have an overabundance, or you can even have the wrong kind of iron, we refer to it as inorganic iron, which is basically more harm to you than good. Dr. Mercola goes on to point out in this article, which is actually entitled The Selfish Reason to Donate Your Blood, he says one of the most important roles of iron is to provide hemoglobin, which is actually the protein in your red blood cells. And one of the most important roles of iron is to provide hemoglobin, which is a mechanism through which it can bind to oxygen and carry it throughout your tissues, as without proper oxygenation, your cells quickly start dying. So this is why iron is so important. It's a carrier, basically at the end of the day, it helps carry oxygen throughout to your cells. And without this oxygen, you would definitely not survive very long. He points out in the article that if you have too little iron, you may experience decreased immunity, or iron deficiency anemia, which, if left untreated, can definitely cause big, big problems. Additionally, he goes on to point out if you have more iron than your body needs to satisfy your hemoglobin requirement for cell oxygenation, the excess becomes a dangerous surplus. And then this is where he's zeroing in on the article to talk about the comparison of those who have too much iron as compared to too little iron. He points out that research shows that iron levels in Americans show that more people have iron levels that are considered too high than levels that are actually considered deficient. And one study which he cites, of more than 1,000 people, only 3% were iron deficient, but actually 13% had an iron overload or an iron surplus. And then the article goes on to talk about some of the health risks of too much iron. Now, most of us are familiar with some of the health risks of too little iron. As I pointed out earlier, iron deficiency anemia, you may begin to have experience fatigue, decreased immunity, etc. And it's very serious if you have an iron deficiency over a long amount of time. But you don't hear much talk about iron surpluses or iron overload. And as he points out in the article, the body actually has a limited capacity to excrete iron, which means it can actually build up in your organs, and especially some of your more important organs, like your liver and your heart and your pancreas. And if this iron continues to build up in your organs, it's almost like these organs become like rust. And this is dangerous because it is a potent oxidizer and actually can damage your tissues and your organs. And it can actually contribute to serious health issues. Now, let's look at some of the health issues that are overabundance or surplus over time that iron can cause. You could have issues like cirrhosis of the liver, even liver cancer, cardiac arrhythmias, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, as well as bacterial and viral infections. And Dr. Mercola points these things out in his article as well. He goes on to talk more about how it plays a big part in Alzheimer's. And he says in his article regarding Alzheimer's, high iron levels in your blood can actually lead to the production of free radicals that can actually damage neurons in your brain. He says it's also believed that iron accumulates at high levels and is extremely reactive in the beta amyloid plaque found in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. We've talked about this on Blue Zone Wellness before, where in patients who have Alzheimer's, they have these plaques in their brains. And now he's talking about how when there are high levels of iron, it's extremely reactive to the beta amyloid plaques. He also points out that iron is also known to accumulate specifically in brain regions associated with memory and thought processes, which are gradually lost as Alzheimer's progresses. Moreover, he points out that research has shown that reducing excess iron in your brain can alleviate Alzheimer's-like symptoms in mice. And while measuring brain iron has been suggested as a way to actually detect Alzheimer's disease in its early stages. So here we've been the article is pointing out, and also looking at some of the research, that points out that one of the things that can contribute and maybe even cause Alzheimer's disease is the high levels of surplus overload levels of iron in the brain. Also, Dr. Mercola points out further in the article that cancer researchers have also found new evidence that bowel cancers are two to three times more likely to develop when dietary iron is too high in the body. The research, he points out, was done with mice, but the study also says it can potentially help them find effective ways of reducing the odds of developing a bowel cancer in those who are at high risk. And he goes on to point out the role of a specific gene called an APC gene. And when this gene is faulty or deleted, two proteins that trigger iron buildup in the bowel cells get switched on. So you have this gene, this APC gene, and when this APC gene is faulty or is deleted, two proteins in your bowel can trigger to produce iron buildup in the bowel. As the iron builds up, he points out, it activates a cell-to-cell signaling pathway that malfunctions in cancer called WNT, which actually stimulates cancer cells to grow uncontrollably. The lead author of the study that he's citing in the author is a doctor by the name of Julie Sharp, and she's the senior science information manager at the Cancer Research in the UK. And he's quoting her, and she says, quote, finding ways of mopping up the iron that is in the bowel could have a real impact on the number of people who develop the disease. So basically, this, all of this iron that's being produced can actually contribute to to developing bowel cancer. And here we're talking about a surplus of iron being in the system. So we've seen how it can contribute to bowel cancer. We've seen how it can also contribute to Alzheimer's. We've also pointed out how it can also lead over a long term lead to cirrhosis of the liver, liver cancer, cardiac arrhythmias, thereby affecting the heart. It can accumulate in the pancreas, thereby leading to diabetes. And also it can contribute to bacterial and viral infections. That is just having an overload of iron in the body. Now, let's talk about some of the ways to cut back, as he says in this article, on iron excess. And one of the most common causes of iron excess, he points out, is the regular consumption of alcohol. The regular consumption of alcohol. Alcohol consumed on a regular basis will increase the absorption of iron in your diet. He goes on to say, for instance, if you drink some wine with your steak, you will likely be absorbing more iron than you need. Other potential causes of high iron levels include cooking in iron pots or pans, and cooking acidic foods, he points out, in these types of pots or pans will cause even higher levels of iron to be absorbed. We've talked about before acidic foods, especially negative, which lead to a negative or a higher acidic pH. We talked about this over and over again. As anything from an animal especially, is acidic. So think about if you're eating these acidic foods, and then you're combining that in iron pots and pans, it's actually ideal to cook in glass utensils. He also points out that eating processed foods like cereals and white bread that are, quote, fortified with iron can actually lead to higher iron rates in the body. The iron they use in these products is inorganic iron, as I pointed out earlier, about sometimes even you have to be careful in a lot of the supplements where they're fortified with iron or they have iron in them. Many of them have inorganic iron. This iron cannot be assimilated or used effectively by the body, and so it actually does more damage to you than good. And he points out that the iron they use in these products is inorganic and not much different than rust, and it is far more dangerous than the iron, even in meat. And if you live somewhere where you're drinking well water, sometimes you'll need to get, a lot of times your well water will be high in iron, and he recommends the key here is to make sure you have some type of iron precipitator and or a reverse osmosis water filter to deal with the excess inorganic iron that you may be getting there. Also, now let's look quickly, as he points out also in the article, what are the ideal levels of iron? The healthy range of serum ferritin lies between 20 and 80 nanograms per milliliter. Let me back up for a second here. You can get your iron levels checked by a simple blood test called a serum ferritin test. And in this test, it basically checks, the test measures the carrier molecule of iron, which is called ferritin. And it actually stores the iron. So if your ferritin levels are low, it means your iron levels are basically or typically also low. So the healthy range of serum ferritin lies between 20 and 80 nanograms per milliliter. Below 20 is a strong indicator that you are iron deficient, as Dr. Mercola points out, and above 80 suggests that you have an iron surplus. The ideal range is between 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. The higher the number over 100, the worse the iron overload, he points out, with levels over 300 being particularly toxic and will eventually cause serious damage in nearly everyone that sustains those levels for a long amount of time. So you can determine this by a serum ferritin test, blood test. Also, some other things that you can help do to deal with bringing the levels down. You have herbs like the herb rosemary can help reduce iron absorption. Curcumin, which we're going to talk about a little later here in the show, actually acts as an iron chelator. And in my studies, actually, diet supplement with curcumin extract, it actually exhibited a decline in levels of ferritin in the liver. So it brought down the levels of iron in the liver in these studies. Also, there are some other herbs here and there that can also help decrease the absorption of iron in the body. And that is, it's a very interesting article. We often hear a lot about iron deficiency, but we don't hear so much about iron overload. In reality, the studies show that it's actually a lot more iron. There's actually a lot more, and the studies show, statistically speaking, more people have too much iron in their body than the lack of iron. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness here on BlueZoneWellness.org. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're still in our first segment where we're dealing with the natural news and review. We are going to move right into our next article, which is a very, very, very interesting article. And this article, we're going to talk about our drug company faking studies to make money. Now, interestingly enough, the article, or rather the author of this article, is a researcher by the name of John Rappaport, and he is the author of a collection called The Matrix Reveal. He was also a candidate for the U.S. congressional seat in the 29th District of California. He's been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. He has worked as an investigative reporter for 30 years, writing articles on politics, medicine, and health for CBS, Health Watch, for LA Weekly, for Spin Magazine, Stern, as well as other newspapers and magazines in the United States as well as in Europe. And he has a very article. You can find this article at naturalnews.com. And it's entitled Medical Companies Fake Reality on a Daily Basis. And he starts off in the article by saying Glaxo, Merck, and Pfizer, three giant drug companies, are under the gun. Glaxo has just paid $3 billion fine for bribery, fabricating drug safety data, and fraud. Merck has been caught inventing data to give the impression its mumps vaccine is effective, and Pfizer is being attacked for conspiring to prevent generic drug competition against its wildly popular Lipitor. So here we have three of these huge, huge drug companies: Glaxo, Merck, and Pfizer. Glaxo paid $3 billion in a fine for bribing people, fabricating drug safety data, and fraud. Merck was caught inventing data to give the impression that its mumps vaccine is effective, and Pfizer is being attacked for conspiring to prevent generic drug competition against its cholesterol drug, Lipitor. And the author in the article, Mr. Rappaport, goes on to point out that the $3 billion Glaxo fine covers scheming, lying, and cheating in connection with three of its drugs, Paxil, Butrin, and Avandia. He goes on to point out that this $3 billion fine is really a slap on the hand when you consider how much they made from those three drugs. And he points out how they made $27.9 billion. So So the $3 billion fine is just the cost of doing business with them. He goes on to point out in the article that he says in recent articles, and I'm quoting him, he says, I've revealed a smoking, sizzling gun located on the FDA's own website. And then he tells you to Google FDA, why learn about adverse drug reactions, and you'll find the page, he says. And the FDA is completely aware that their approved medical drugs are killing 100,000 Americans each year. And he put that that's what's actually on the page. And he said, he goes on to say in the article, he says, yes, we all know, and I'm still quoting him, that some doctors who sit on FDA panels have financial ties to the very companies whose drugs they are okaying. But the story goes much further than that. Now, let me pause here and say that that's something that we should all be concerned about, where you have doctors that are sitting on panels, and you have doctors who are teaching in universities and schools that have connections, or they're being paid to write articles in journals by the drug companies that are putting these drugs on the market. So if I'm sitting on a panel that's going to decide the efficacy of a drug, and behind the scenes I'm being paid the drug company, there's a severe conflict of interest there, and no one in their right mind could believe that any doctor or anyone or any other person that's under that type of influence could really make an unbiased decision. But here, Mr. Rappaport points out that it's even deeper than that in this article. He goes on to say that drug companies run clinical trials of new drugs on humans before FDA approval can occur. And those clinical trials are written up and published in medical journals. Then he goes on to say, now if 100,000 Americans are dying every year from the effects of drugs the FDA say are safe, the FDA is looking at published studies that are what? The studies claim drug after drug is safe, but the drugs kill. And so he points out, how can the drug companies present these studies before the FDA, and they appear to be okay, they appear to be relatively safe, but year after year after year, the same drug that the studies show were safe are killing 100,000 people. And he goes on to extrapolate that apparently then, that the information that they're presenting to the FDA is not correct, it's fraudulent, or either the FDA is in on the conspiracy. His conclusion is, he says here, that the published studies are fraudulent. He says not just a few studies, but hundreds and thousands of them. He goes on to say that the drug companies are providing studies that are outright criminal lies. And he goes on to say later on in the article, he says that that's what we have here. Since the FDA knows the drugs they approve as safe are killing 100,000 Americans every year like clockwork, the FDA also knows thousands of scientific public studies are lies. The FDA knows, he said, that huge numbers of studies on drug safety are faked. Fake studies are a crime. It's called fraud, and I'm still quoting him. And when the fraud leads to the death of people taking a drug, that's a lot worse than fraud. And then Mr. Rappaport says, in a legitimate, honest courtroom, if one existed, I would present that case against the FDA every day of the week, and I would win. And then he goes on to talk about how, even further, how he quotes a couple of doctors here, which is very interesting information. He says, and I'm quoting him again, he says, but there is further evidence that huge numbers of published studies of drugs are fraudulent. He said we actually have statements from medical insiders. For example, he goes on to quote a quote from a devastating source, he calls it, a woman who edited the most famous medical journal in the world. And then he quotes Dr. Marcia Angell, MD, who was actually her quote, she's quoting, and he says, quote, it is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reached slowly and reluctantly over my two decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And he's quoting, that's a quote from Marcia Angell, MD, and article entitled Drug Companies and Doctors, A Story of Corruption. And she actually was an editor for about 20 years of the New England Journal of Medicine, which is indeed the most famous medical journal in the world. And here she's saying that we can no longer trust these studies. And then he goes on to ask in an article, he asks some probing questions. He says, quote, what do doctors rely on? What do medical schools rely on? What do medical journals and mainstream medical reporters and drug companies and FDA rely on? He said, the sanctity of published clinical trials of drugs. These trials determine whether the drugs are safe and effective. The drugs are tested on human volunteers. The results are tabulated. The trials are described in papers. They are printed by medical journals. And he goes on to say that this is science. This is rationality. This is the rock. Without these studies, the whole field of medical research will fall apart out of chaos. And then he says, further, upon this rock, and hence through media, the public becomes aware of the latest breakthrough, the newest medicine. Through doctors in their offices, the public finds out what drugs they should take, and their doctors know because their doctors have read the published studies in the medical journals, the studies that describe the clinical drug trials. Or if the doctors haven't actually read the reports, they've been told about them. And when you follow that line of reasoning, which he's pointed out, which is actually very accurate, now the problem becomes if the articles in the journal or if the original research was flawed or was faked, and then it goes to the journals, and then people depend on the journals and medical schools and your doctors are reading them, we can understand now why 100,000 people a year are dying, because some of this, a lot of this information has been suppressed or kept out of from the people. And so he goes on to say further in this article, and this is a very, very enlightening article, he says, when mainstream medical advocates attack so-called alternative or natural health, they mention that their own sacred profession is based on real science, on studies, or on clinical trials. He says, but in reality, they are not. They're based on fraud, in many cases, fraudulent information that was purposely contrived and made up and manufactured. He goes on to say further in this article, he says, quote, here is more evidence. He says, I quote an article in the New York Review of Books by Helen Epstein entitled Flu Warning, Beware the Drug Company. And then he quotes her. She says, six years ago, John Ioannidis, a professor of epidemiology at the University of Ioannina School of Medicine in Greece, found that half of published articles in scientific journals contain findings that were false. That's half, that's 50% wrong. He also, quote, from the same article, says last year, and I'm quoting, GlaxoSmithKline's diabetes drug, Avandia, was linked to thousands of heart attacks. And earlier in the decade, the company's antidepressant, Paxil, was discovered to exacerbate the risk of suicide in young people. Merck's painkiller, Vioxx, was also linked to thousands of heart disease deaths. In each case, the scientific literature gives little hint of these dangers. End quote. And the author also continues to quote further in this article. He says, and here is yet another statement from Marcia Angell, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. And then he quotes her, quote, a review of 74 clinical trials of antidepressants, for example, found that 37 of 38 positive studies that praised the drug were published. But of the 36 negative studies, 33 were either not published nor published in the form that conveyed a positive outcome. So here you have the studies that were favorable, they published almost all of those. Of the ones that were unfavorable, they suppressed all of them but three, and two of those were presented in such a way to make them seem positive. And then the doctor said, we have the clinical trials of studies on drugs, and they are published in top journals. We are the epitome of science, says the author in this article. Finally, he says that, if you need more, he then cites Dr. Barbara Starfield's famous study that was conducted back in 2000, and he quotes it. He says, quote, he's quoting Dr. Starfield in her study from 2000, where she says, quote, in U.S. health, is U.S. health really the best in the world? And this was in the Journal of the American Medical Association on July the 26th, 2000. She concludes that 225,000 people are killed by the medical system in the U.S. every year. And she goes on to say that 106,000 by FDA-approved medicine. That latter figure works out to over 1 million deaths per decade. So 106,000 people, and this article was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association as far back as 2000. Over 100,000 people are killed every year in the United States by FDA-approved medicine. and the total number that are killed every year by doctor's mistakes, et cetera, hospital mistakes, or a total of 225,000 people a year. Now, if we were in the medical and the natural medicine field, if we were killing that many people a year, they would have all of us in jail. And the fact of the matter is, how can we have the best medical system in the world when we're operating on companies that are creating false studies and manufacturing and manipulating evidence to be able to sell their product? Finally, Mr. Report in this article says, he points out he writes out why these things are occurring. And it actually goes back to making money. He says, quote, "The August editors of medical journals have a game they can play. Suppose a drug company has just finished writing up the results of a clinical drug trial and has submitted the piece to a journal for publication. The editor knows the company carried out a half dozen other such trials on the same drug and they didn't look good. The drug caused wild fluctuations in blood pressure and blood sugar. There were heart attacks, strokes, but this one study, the one submitted for publication, looked very positive. The editor knows if he prints it and forgets about ethics, the drug company will order reprint of the piece from him and distribute them to doctors all over the world and to reporters, professors, government officials. The drug company will order and pay for these reprints. The medical journal can make $700,000 from publishing that one study. In one hand, the editor sees, I don't publish yet, no money. In the other hand, he sees, I published it, $700,000. What to do?" So, and he basically points out that is the position that the editor is put in. If he does not bring in money, the journal does not survive. So in many cases, we find that many things that should not be published or should be published differently are not published that way. But the people, you and I, get the short end of the stick. And that the two articles that we're going to deal with in our Natural News and Review, Week in Review segment. Very sobering article. And it's not, there are many articles that have come out in this vein over the years. Many publications, many medical doctors and many people from the whistleblowers from the FDA. That's how we find out about Vioxx. You do have honest people all throughout and these organizations. And when one or two of these honest people find out what's going on and they come out, many times they're blackballed, but we otherwise wouldn't know about some of these. Now, we're not going to take a break here at this point. We're going to go right into our healing food segment, and then we'll take a brief breather. As I mentioned earlier, in our healing food segment, we're going to talk about kiwi. Kiwi. Now, kiwi is a very, very tasty food, fruit. But besides being a tasty food, kiwi is also very, very, very beneficial. It is rich in many vitamins. It's rich in flavonoids as well as in minerals. In particular, kiwi contains a high amount of vitamin C. And most people know that vitamin C is very, very beneficial for the body. It's what's called water soluble. That means some vitamins break down. It needs fat to break down, but it doesn't. It just needs water. Kiwi actually contain more vitamin C, about twice as more vitamin C than do oranges. They contain as much potassium as bananas, and they also contain a good amount of beta carotene. They actually happen to be pretty good for your eyes as well. In fact, there were some studies in Italy that were performed on 6 and 7 year old kids, children, and these studies demonstrated even additional health benefits to the respiratory tract from kiwi as well as other fruit. In particular, these children were fed 5 to 7 portions a week of citrus fruit in general, as well as kiwi fruit, and they had a 45% less probability of wheezing compared to those children eating less than once a week. Also, not only wheezing, but shortness of breath was reduced by about 32%, nighttime coughing was reduced by 27%, severe wheeze by 41%, and chronic cough by 27%, and runny nose even by 28%. So here, when we talk about these healing foods that our Creator has given us, you've heard me talk about on this show before, eat in line or to eat in harmony with the rainbow. And the 7 colors of the rainbow are red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, and violet. If the closer your foods are to the rainbow, the healthier overall you will be. And study after study have shown that. And also here on Blue Zone Wellness, you often hear me talking about those laws of health. Very, very crucial. Those laws of health, that is the trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. All true health is based on those laws of health. And so here we have, we're talking about kiwi in terms of the laws of health, which would fall under the health law of diet or nutrition. And here we're seeing that kiwi, given us by our Creator, is full of vitamins, full of flavonoids and minerals, full of vitamins like vitamin C and minerals like potassium and phytochemicals like beta-carotene. And also, there's more information. Kiwi has also been shown to be to help age-related macular degeneration. And so, again, consuming three kiwi a day can actually lower your risk of eyesight loss. So if you're beginning to have eye problems, you may want to include a kiwi in your diet. Eating three kiwi a day. Eat for breakfast. Eat it with your meal. Just don't eat fruit and vegetables at the same meal, with the exception of maybe one or two, which is a discussion for another day. Also, there was a series of studies published by the Archives of Ophthalmology, and they have proven that consuming three or more servings of fruit per day, including kiwi, can actually reduce about 36% the risk of developing an eye-related disease or macular, age-related macular degeneration, which is called ARMD. So you can actually improve the health of your eyes and the ability to see longer by eating three to five servings of fruit every day. And this is why I said earlier, it's very important, and kiwi happens to be one of the most beneficial for your eyes. It's also, not only does it have vitamin C, but it also contains vitamin E and vitamin A. And the fact that it has vitamin E lets us know that it benefits our cardiovascular health, or your heart, and your blood vessels. Because vitamin E, has actually been proven to have similar effects, or kiwi has actually been proven to have similar effects upon the heart as vitamin E. In fact, in some cases, even better effects. And so again, it's very, very efficacious for your heart health and for your artery, your cardiovascular health. It's also good because, as is all food, because it's high in fiber, it's beneficial to your gastrointestinal tract. Keeps the things moving inside. Keeps your colon moving. You don't want your gastrointestinal tract to be stagnant. You want things moving in that area. Now, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness on bluezonewellness.org, or you also may be listening on blogtalkradio.com. You listen at blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness. We are going to go to a brief break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to finish talking about the last little bit of yohimbe, and then we're going to go into turmeric. And believe me, we won't finish turmeric today. We'll finish it next week, but the benefits of turmeric are amazing, and not only the benefits, you want to take it, but you also want to know exactly how to take it. We'll be back right after these brief messages.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening once again as we go into our final segment. Our final segment here is when we talk about an herb or a supplement, a healing herb or a supplement. As we talked last week, we're going to pick up and finish up yohimbe, and then we'll go into turmeric. And we won't finish it, as I said before the break. We won't finish it, but we'll finish it next week. And again, as I mentioned to you before, we're looking at perhaps during the week bringing in a couple of other shows. We're just testing to see how that'll work. But let's get into yohimbe. I'm not going to go over what I went over with respect to yohimbe last week. If you didn't see that, the show is there. You can listen to last week's show to get the benefits of yohimbe. The part that we didn't finish was some of the things to consider when using yohimbe. Which is a herb used. It's an aphrodisiac for both sexes. It also is good for energy and strength, but it's also is a herbal form of Viagra, if you will. But yohimbe, if you were to use it, is best used as a tincture. And yohimbine, which is the chemical form of yohimbe, which has been taken, extracted from it, and made into a drug. Sometimes given in prescription form by medical doctors. And you may see it in the form as a yohimbex or yohimbine hydrochloride. But basically, if you get the herbal form, yohimbe, it is best used as a tincture. Now, at least one study has suggested that yohimbe is more likely to be effective if you are fasting or eating a low-fat diet, which would make sense to me. Also, anxiety, dizziness, heart palpitations, and changes in blood pressure are rare side effects for some people. They're very rare. But they can result from even a single dose of either yohimbe, which is the herb in its natural form, or yohimbine, which is the form that they've extracted from the herb and made a prescription drug out of it. Also, if you're a man and you're receiving medical treatment for anxiety or depression or high blood pressure, migraine, or seizure disorders, you should consult with your doctor before taking yohimbe, before taking this herb. Additionally, Because the chemical yohimbine is a possible, what we call an MAO inhibitor, you should avoid the following substances when you're using this herb. Any food that contains tyramine, i.e. chocolate, most French cheeses, liver, any organ meats, and red wine, also including nasal decongestants and weight loss aids. If the weight loss aid contains phenylpropylamine. Also, avoid high dosages of yohimbe, which can actually result medical term, I just tell you what it is in layman's terms. High dosages can lead to a disorder that actually requires surgery because of painful, long-lasting erection. And so don't get carried away with this. Yohimbine interacts with a quite a large number of over-the-counter health remedies. And so I would recommend if you are on any drug that you talk to your doctor. And also if you have a natural doctor I just want to pause here. I see a message that says some of those pills are questionable. You are right. some of those yohimbe mixtures are questionable, and this is why we recommend more readily the tincture. As I mentioned earlier, is actually a more the tincture is actually a better usage, which is the case with many herbs. As I was going on to say, yohimbe is if you're using yohimbe, and if you're on medication, you should talk with your doctor. And also, if you have a herbalist or a naturopath or a homeopath, a good one, if you're on herbs, will always find out what drugs you're on and make sure that any herb that's being recommended, there are no contraindications there, any clashes. Also, I want to point out that if you're taking Viagra, do not under any circumstances combine that with yohimbe. Either if you're taking it, take one or the other. And we are going to move on now from yohimbe. Again, if you want more information, you can listen to the show from last week when we were talking about it. And again, the tincture, yohimbe is best used as a tincture and not as a not an appeal form. As one of our commenters there on the blog said, on the chat room said, some of those appeals are actually questionable. Now, what we're going to move on here, and it's in our final 7 minutes or so, we're going to talk about turmeric, which is actually one of my favorite remedies to talk about and to recommend, especially in cases of inflammation, of any type of inflammation. And if you have any type of inflammation in your body, and a large number of diseases have been found to have at their basis chronic or long-term inflammation. Now, if you're familiar with Ayurvedic medicine, which is a type of herb, which is one of the oldest forms of natural medicine, and it's from India, and turmeric is a very important herb in Ayurvedic medicine, and it has been used. It's also used by practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine, which are TCM. They use turmeric to treat liver and gallbladder problems. They also use it to stop bleeding and to ease chest congestion, as well as menstrual discomforts. So two of the oldest systems, both the Ayurvedic medicine system and the Chinese system, two of the oldest and most established systems in natural medicine that there is. And they're very, very effective. They both hold turmeric, the herb turmeric, in very high regard. And most practitioners that I'm aware of actually also hold it in high regard, especially when you use it appropriately. Now, turmeric, again, as I said earlier, its primary use is for anti-inflammatory issues. And even in Ayurvedic medicine, turmeric is a primary anti-inflammatory herb. Its principal component is curcumin. So a lot of times if you're in the store, you will see curcumin extract. And sometimes you will see turmeric. Now, sometimes if you have a practitioner, sometimes it's better to the practitioner to recommend turmeric, the entire herb. Sometimes it may be better to recommend curcumin. But many times in the store you will see turmeric extract or curcumin extract. And curcumin is actually one of the major active ingredients, or the active ingredients that's been extracted. And the reason I say it is because There are many constituents in the old herb that we may not even have the technology yet to recognize, and so we have to say where curcumin is actually the active component, and it definitely it is a active component, and maybe even the major active component, but that does not necessarily mean that it is the only active component, and so this is why sometimes we recommend taking the whole herb, and sometimes the old herb in combination with the extract, and sometimes just the extract, depending on the person and depending on whatever we're dealing with. Curcumin is also very beneficial in fighting viral infection. It's beneficial in fighting cancer as well as through arthritis, because it's a very, very potent antioxidant. Curcumin, it also protects the liver, it stimulates the gallbladder, and it also scavenges free radicals. Those radicals are things that cause problems as they go throughout the body. They cause aging, cause disease, and so anything that's an antioxidant that would kill these free radicals or make them non-effective is always good for the body in general. Curcumin. Now, let's look at some of the benefits for specific diseases and abnormalities. again, we won't finish, but it's very, very, you really want to know these. And so you, when you get into these situations, you can be able to have some idea of what you can use for these diseases or ailments that you may be dealing with. Let's look at how it's been used in arthritis, eczema, endometriosis, pain, and tendinitis. These are some of the things it's been used for. Now, there have been some clinical studies that have confirmed that the volatile oil in turmeric can actually ease acute pain caused by a number of mechanisms. And actually, the studies also show that its effectiveness is equal to that of steroid preparations such as hydrocortisone and phenobarbital. But yet without the side effects. So here you have an herb that, again, the Creator has given us, that the science shows, the clinical studies actually show, that its ability to ease acute pain, which is caused by a number of mechanisms within the herb itself, and is equal in its effectiveness to that of steroid preparations, such as hydrocortisone, as well as phenobarbital, but without the side effects of these drugs. For instance, hydrocortisone is going to always deplete your adrenal glands. It's going to deplete you of your B vitamins, and there are some other things as well. So, but here you have, as I said earlier, the Creator has given you a powerful natural supplement that can work and work in the body and equally as powerful as these drugs, and yet you don't have to deal with the side effects. In fact, test tube as well as laboratory studies have confirmed that curcumin has anti-inflammatory as well as anti-arthritic activity. So many, if you have arthritis and your joints are giving you pain, the underlying cause of the pain will almost always be inflammation. And once you can deal with the inflammation, you're dealing with the underlying cause of the pain. And turmeric is one of the herbs, or one of the supplements, as well as curcumin, that's very, very, it's been shown to be very, very effective in dealing with arthritic activity, inflammation. Actually, in India, this is one of the reasons that it accounts for its long-standing use in different types of inflammatory conditions, such as arthritis, because it's been shown, many times they don't have all these studies many times. And as we talked about earlier in the show, these studies are not always what they appear to be when the drug companies get involved to try to produce their drugs. But and even with the herbs, you don't have all these funded studies because you can't patent the herb. But you have, here recently, you have more and more scientific studies backing. Also, you have the years and years and hundreds of thousands of years, centuries, of people that have used these herbs and have used these supplements, mainly herbs, and have gotten great benefit. And so one of the things that's good for in all these diseases of inflammation, rather, arthritis, eczema, endometriosis, pain, and tendinitis. Now, we're down to about a minute left. So we're going to stop there, and we're going to continue next week. And we're going to look at how curcumin is helpful in osteosclerosis, or bursitis, and carpal tunnel syndrome, and how it's helpful in cancer, and cataracts, and cirrhosis of the liver, and gallstone, halitosis, and periodontal disease, HIV, even indigestion. We're going to look at those areas and how beneficial this herb can be in those areas. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. You haven't listened to Blue Zone Wellness. I hope that you will join us next week on the same time, same place, from 4 to 5 p.m. You can listen at bluezonewellness.org live, or you can listen in at blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. Again, thank you for joining us here. I gave you my information for Blue Zone West on Twitter earlier, as well as thank you for joining me. And until next week, stay in the zone, the Blue Zone.